When you open the door for somebody else.
Welcome back to the Vaccine Conversation Podcast.
Is that what it's called?
With Melissa and Dr. Bob. This is part two of episode one of season three. And we broke this all up for you into multiple episodes because I know y'all are busy. And I know Dr. Bob's got the 3-hour time period where he likes to just sit and listen to podcasts. But the rest of us, movers and shakers, we got beep to do. And so it's much easier just to be like, hey, I'm on my drive back from dropping off my kids who happen to go to school 30 minutes away so that they can be mask free.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. That's nice. Just my experience. And so therefore that drive time is a great time to listen. So hopefully you're tuning in on that drive time. So we're splitting it up to continue talking about super exciting. And if you're tuning into this without tuning into the part one episode, shame on you. Go back and listen to part
back.
One.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you're going to want to hear what we've introduced
what
here.
What
we put
together. Yeah. Well, I love having 3 hours of podcast footage to listen to. Do you know how clean our house is because I have podcasts to listen to? I'll clean the kitchen every morning. Oh. I'll like empty the dishes. Cheryl does so much around the house. She always like loads the dishwasher, runs it at night, cleans up the kitchen. But I get up in the morning if we've left the dinner dishes out, and I'll basically just, you know, entertain myself with podcasts while I clean the kitchen and
I'm trying to think if I've ever
house,
done that.
Do stuff outside. Oh yeah, it's a great way to kind of.
But see, I can't do that because I always have a kid to watch to where I have to keep hearing.
Oh yeah, to keep one
yes,
ear.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. See, I'm the dad,
I don't have
to do that.
That's a good point. So maybe my house would be a lot cleaner. So it's not my fault. In other words,
what are you talking about, Melissa?
Of
your
what do
house
you speak?
is spotless.
It's spotless. Yes, it's a Lysol commercial.
And yeah. I walked in. I'm like, whoa! Did you know what happened? This place is spotless.
Was there a,
now.
No? You were like more like, was there a tornado? I didn't know about. Did Mission Viejo get a storm? Because
you suddenly have 10 kids instead of just the two.
And you really didn't try. So you're not going to try and you're not going to clean. Cool. Okay. At least we know where it's at.
Yeah,
yep. Hey, other solidarity to all my other moms out there that are just like, yes. Hey, yes, girl. Yes, girl.
I don't know. I guess, guys, we don't have a phrase like that. We just high five as we go by each other, fist bump.
Or back when you were a kid, they were like, you dig? That's how long ago it was.
Or now it's just like the nod. You walk by, just
now
the
it's
nod.
A fist bump. Yeah. Oh my gosh, speaking of fist bump, I was reading these really funny people sharing embarrassing experiences. And this one girl said she was working somewhere where there's this really cute guy working there. And he went to give her a fist bump. But she thought he was holding out, he's pretending to hold out an empty microphone. So she leaned down and said, hello. She said hello. And then she realized he was trying to fist bump her. And she's like, and I haven't slept since.
That's so funny.
Could you imagine trying to fist bump somebody and then leaning down and going, hello, is this thing on?
Well, during COVID, I was one of the guys that did like the elbow.
Oh, God.
And then you told me how
not
dorky
me.
That is.
Not me. I was like,
is.
Please, no. Just that is not, it's unacceptable.
Yeah.
So anyway, well, back into our episode.
Yeah, let's get into our real, you know, thoughtful discussion for part two.
Here we go.
Right. One of my passions that you kind of touched on is it's hard to get this information out there. And I guess I have this vision of people even using these videos as invite five friends over, invite some new parents over that have new babies. And you could screen share this on your TV from the website and watch it like as a group and discuss it as a group. And I even kind of have this, this passion of people actually kind of like organizing those, setting them up a certain time. And then after the group has watched it, like I could even envision myself someday setting up where I then like do a Zoom call into their home on someone's laptop and the group asks me questions and we kind of have like a conversation about it back and forth. And almost as if like, I always envision like as part of our podcast tour, like we would, go around and do like in home, discussions with like kind of like 20, 30, 40, parents and kind of like in-person conversations with families about these issues, because that's also a big passion of mine. And I guess it's possible that I would be able to do like Zoom call parties with people that have organized, you know, like a group of 10, 15, 20 people in their home, watch our video, and then, you know, write questions as you go. And then I, you know, Zoom in and we chat for a half hour, and you kind of like make it all kind of a whole evening event. Because I think what you touched on is the more in person that we can do things, the better, because social media is blocking us. We can't always do huge live events. They sometimes will shut down, you know, big live events that people put together. If you do smaller in-home person-to-person events, I almost envision, you know, having, you know, like every major city has one or two families that routinely do in-home vaccine conversation events for new parents. And that in-person personal connection, I think, reaches people a lot more, and our videos could provide like the educational content and like the launch pad for those, and then it leads to, you know, further discussion amongst yourselves. I hopefully we might kind of use these in that manner in the future. And I know you probably don't have time for that kind of thing, but I certainly do. My kids are grown and I have time, and again, it's my passion. And maybe I'll drag you into some of those so people can have, I'm the doctor that talks like the doctor, and then you're the intelligent, you know, consumer who really can, you know, I think say these things in a lot, you know, more clear way. See, I can't even figure out how to say what I'm trying to say, whereas you could just say it just on the top of your head.
Well, so. I think that's just because I am like our audience. Like I am them.
Yeah.
I'm a parent who's recently in this, who in my situation, you know, had a negative experience. Not everybody does, but they usually know somebody that has, that's our audience. Mm-hmm. So I am you guys. So I know what you guys are talking about because that's what's on my Facebook mm-hmm. feed. Yeah. So I see the questions, the concerns, the ideas, I know what people are thinking, and I know what I'm thinking as mm-hmm. a parent as it relates to all this, because I'm relatively new in this. I think there's a level of detachment that you can have with all of this because you've been in it for a really long time. You keep some level of a distance as a provider because you're meant to. And so you can't necessarily get all, as passionate as you are about this thing, you're not necessarily in it the same way a parent is in it, right? Because you have to maintain some level of like neutrality mm-hmm. Because of your position and being a male. Like, I mean, men tend to be a little more detached by mm-hmm. stuff like this overall in general. Women tend to get a little bit more emotionally and passionately involved. So I think that I probably just represent our audience because I am our audience. If I wasn't doing this, I'd be listening to somebody who I respected right. doing this
right.
because I would be concerned about this, what's going on, and I want to be as educated as I can, and I want to be on top of everything. So I think that's yeah. probably why it's the combination of our listener and the information, and it's just like mixed together in the way that we discuss the information.
Yeah, I appreciate how you say that. I've always had that kind of that objective, neutral sort of middle ground approach to everything I talk about with vaccines, because I've never had a child or a close family member who suffered a vaccine injury. And so I don't have that personal experience to draw on. I've certainly had a lot of patients suffer right. vaccine injury, but if you're a parent and your child had a horrible vaccine injury, you just want every single other parent on the entire planet to listen to you and hear you. And it's coming from the really depths of your soul.
Right.
You know, not just your heart and your mind, but your very being wants them to hear it. And that comes out mm-hmm. when a parent is trying to share this. I don't have that inner like angst and, right. and horrible experience I had to watch my own child go through. And I'm trying to get you to listen because of that. No, so I think that's kind of why I think we're a great mix and a great balance of the two different approaches that, again, on video format, very professionally done. You know, this yeah. isn't us, you know, live streaming in our garage. Like you said, this isn't a professional studio mm-hmm. With a crew.
Which and, we're grateful to have that
yeah,
experience and that outlet.
I think it looks great, and it's been fun to edit. And you know, we have a good editing team that's part of this this whole mission. Like everyone that's working with us on this is part of the health freedom movement. They all share our passion on this. So, you know, this, we could do like a, literally a, an, like this could never end. We could keep putting up like a new series a few times a year on thevaccineconversation.com if it really takes off. And that's why we need your help. Like the more it takes off, the more, okay, if we're going to reach, you know, 20,000 subscribers, yeah, we're going to keep putting on some awesome content. And if we have, you know, 50 subscribers, then we'll put on some really good content for a while.
But like
then,
my mom and her friends.
Right, right.
She got everybody together for a watching party, and those are the 50. No, and we actually have such a huge audience. Like that's what I realize now more than ever is like I'll get I still to this day get people messaging me like, oh my gosh, I've been listening to you guys since the very beginning. Like still every day I'll get somebody, almost every day I'll get somebody saying that they're a follower. This has really helped them. They've listened to it.
Yeah.
And it's so broad. It's from people all over the world. We have all these different countries. We've had over a million listens to our podcast. In fact, we're probably closer to 1.5 now. And that's after being kind of off for a year and a half or whatever. So we're going to start doing more episodes to where we can build that again. Let's get ourselves to 5 million. Because this is so important. And this is a good way to start that and to put that back into people's minds that there is a place for people to go for information on this. It's called The Vaccine Conversation. They can go to a website, thevaccineconversation.com. They can have an entire video series for free. And if they want to one time spend $10, they can have access to all the video series that we continue to put out from now. And it's good stuff, good things that are talked about. I think everybody will appreciate and be nodding their heads like while we're going along. I think they'll be nodding their heads to this, you know, ideas or questions or things that we're bringing up going, yeah, I wondered that too. Or yeah, my friend just told me that. It's going to be very relatable because it's going to be the conversations you have in your office with patients. It's the conversations I have with other parents. This is what we are all talking about. It's the buzz of our community and why there exists this community. And it's an open invitation to all the people who don't know this community exists to be able to find out more and to feel like there's somewhere they can go for some more information on it. And I think it's going to be a wonderful tool and something that they can lean on when they need to. So make sure every single one of you guys, like I want our server to be down next week because I want everybody going there and checking it out and marking that as a bookmark as your favorites on your web browser and then sign up. Be a subscriber and share these videos with people and share the vaccine conversation because then that'll bring them back to the audio podcast. And we have seasons of that with so much good content that we've done over all that time. I mean, so much like we put in so much research and background information to every one of those episodes. Like we'd I mean, I'd be printing out like 10 different peer-reviewed articles. We're going through, citing them, bringing them up. Like all that stuff is very sourced. The video series is a lot more conversational. But it'll bring people back to even that and they can go further into it. So this is the way we need to just direct people back to some good conversation on this.
Yeah. And as we're trying to stay up to date with technology and finding new ways to reach people, and that's what this video series is, we are developing an app that will also carry all the videos as well. So, you know, that kind of makes it even easier for people. And it's not out yet. You'll see when it's out on our website. You download, it'll be the Vaccine Conversation app and you'll make it even easier to share with friends new to the health freedom movement. So we're trying to kind of be proactive, you know, as new technology comes out and reaching people through these media. So I'm super excited. And thank you for, you know, joining me on those Saturday mornings to do these. And
oh, I was so happy to do it. What do you mean? I'm like texting you. Are you sure you need me for this one? Are you sure you shouldn't just do this one by yourself? Really? 10 a.m.? Does it have to be 10?
That's so funny. And we, you know, we can let our, I guess, our listeners know. We actually did. I did film some of the footage, just me, some of the medical disease information. Because
I was like, you take this one.
You're like, do I really have to like sit through 10 minutes of you talking about measles? Do I really have to hear you talk about
pertussis? It was actually pertussis? 2 hours. Wasn't it like more like two? Didn't you have like 2 hours of your stuff?
Yeah, I probably did. Mm-hmm. And then we edited in your...
I just sprinkled some thoughts of the other, you know, some regular average Joe thoughts as it relates to this kind of stuff.
Right, but then when you came into the studio, I still had 3 diseases left to do. Yeah. And so you joined me live on those diseases and you can see the difference. I think when you watch series 2, what you add to the conversation, again, I can't say this enough times, what you add to the live conversation is so valuable because you'll think of a very intelligent idea that never even occurred to me. And that, you know, how many times have I said that?
It's just a girl. It's a girl thing.
Yeah, yeah, girls, yeah. That different perspective. I'm like, oh my gosh. And so that'll be, you know, 3 minutes of that discussion that no one would have ever heard. And so,
but the next series, yeah, that one's the next two series,
that's both of us.
Yeah. And that's going to have a little bit more of my footprint on it, I think, because those are my passion.
Yeah.
So all these other ones we've done are all have been your passion areas.
Right. Right.
The next two series are going to be my passion.
So you'll drag me into the studio.
Yeah.
On the
so you're going to be like, Melissa, you can just do this one. I'm like, okay, let's edit you in. Cause it's going to be the social issues and the COVID discussion. Like that is like my, the thing I love the most about all of this. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I'm usually the one going, we can't not have that. And you're like, oh, okay. Like that's not necessarily to you as far as like the basic structure for new parents, because the first three series are going to be all about what a new parent needs to know. And to you, that's kind of completing your original goal
exactly.
is. But I can't with, you know, because of all the other stuff with the juicy stuff, the stuff that interests me, because it has so much to do with, again, can you trust something? Is it ethical? Where is there conflict? Like you have to know that to understand all of this. It's a much more bird's eye view of what's going on, and that's always fascinated me about all this. So those next ones, you'll see a little bit more of my my print on it. So the other ones I was begrudgingly forced under threat to sit and join in and look like I'm happy about it.
We did a darn good job.
I sure did. Ding. A little spark on my smile.
I know. We actually edited in a little spark on your teeth.
What you didn't see was the gun behind my back. I was like, you must be
here. I had to
keep
kicking you under the table. Say something.
There was like an electric prod that like if I didn't interject in a certain amount of time, I got like buzzed, and I was like, there was some water torture involved, and just there's like all these things. But having said all that, at least you guys get the content. at least you have something to go
and little heads up, there are outtakes the end of series two. You have to be a subscriber
to see the outtakes. Pay $10 to see
video. Some fun footage of Melissa when she didn't know the cameras were still rolling.
Actually, I didn't. And what's even funnier is the inside jokes of knowing why I'm laughing at some of those things that you guys will never know.
We had to bleep out. We had to like not show some of the footage.
Yeah, it was not suitable for work. What is that? NSFW. I don't know if some of you may be able to infer as you watch it after watching the whole thing, and I'll be interested to see. But
what are you laughing at? What are you smiling at the camera in a very mischievous way about?
Oh God, it was so funny though. It was pretty funny. I didn't know those outtakes were going to be in there. Like literally he put them on the website and I had to watch them for the first time after they're live. Like meaning anybody could have watched them. I'm like looking through them.
Well, that's why I told you right away. I mean, you'll tell me if anything on there was
you can
take it down.
I might have to go through them a little more with a little more of a fine tooth comb.
But again, that is the essence. And I guess from your perspective, I guess the brilliance of who you and I are. We have this kind of fun. I mean, no one else on the planet has this much fun having the vaccine conversation. They just don't.
No.
The other vaccine podcasts are, I've listened to some of them. They're super boring. And if this wasn't fun, we would have done this for 6 months and then been done with it. If you and I didn't like have a blast and walk away from, these hours of doing this, at least I walk away like, That was actually enjoyable and fun, and it wasn't just work.
Well, because it's thought-provoking when you and I think what we're doing is just tapping into our community, because there are some amazing people in our community, and there are bonds that these people have found with each other that have made them be able to laugh and be able to get through what was a very traumatic or difficult or negative experience. Yeah. We're talking about people's rights being stripped away, their inability to send their children to school. These are all very devastating things with devastating consequences. Mm. But what people in our community have done is become so resilient, and they have persevered and they have found connections with other people that bring them joy and a loving community, and they're able to laugh with people who understand the same battles they're going through, and they've been able to find happiness and positivity out of the darkness, which is really what this whole thing is. There's a lot of dark here, and it's the people that have found those connections to make it. So it's not like this conversation is really fun. It's that we have found connections with other people fighting that understand the depth of what we're fighting for, that we've bonded in ways that becomes more fun and loving and connected than average people because of what's at stake. Because there's literally everything at stake here. And so people throw everything on the line. They put all of themselves into it. And that's a deeper level of connection. So all we're really doing is exemplifying what exists within our community, which is why it's more thought-provoking and fun and deep and worth it and rewarding. It's because of all of them. And we just literally represent and tap into what's there.
Yeah. And I like how you say what's at stake. And that's actually going to be kind of the topic of our next audio podcast episode is we're going to explore all the parallels between COVID and the disease and the lockdowns and the response to the COVID pandemic and how what all the parallels are between that and the broader vaccine conversation that we've been having for decades now, and how to make people who are new to the health freedom movement and are just sort of waking up to all the problems with COVID, how that actually ties into, you know, the whole vaccine program that they've accepted all their lives and haven't been able to see behind the scenes the problems with the vaccine program that we've seen, and how everything that they think about COVID actually is also true about regular vaccines and the regular vaccine program as well. And
we're going to medical community.
Right. We're going to touch on that and maybe give you some ideas on how to expand your conversations as you talk to people about COVID issues and bring them into the larger vaccine conversation so that our movement can become larger and even more productive for
more
the goal of medical freedom for everybody.
I mean, you don't have to be the person fighting and showing up to the rallies necessarily, but if you are just at minimum somebody who is supporting and understanding the efforts of the other side, that's already a huge gain, because right now it is one camp or the other, and the other camp is vilifying everybody who's questioning. So those are the two places we have, right? Those are the two teams, I guess, that you see now. And what I'd like to see is a big portion of the ones vilifying who just don't understand what's going on, coming more into a neutral position where that might not be their personal choice, but they understand why we're fighting for it. Because and then some of the people maybe that were neutral will come more into the let's fight for it stance. Because that's a huge, that's a very huge positive shift if we just do that much. Again, we're never trying to convince somebody, oh, you need to come be, you know, a ride or die advocate for this. But what I do want to see people understand is have that level of compassion and have a level of empathy and understanding for why we do it. Because if the powers that be that are making these policies understand that they don't have a group anymore of people vilifying those who are protesting and questioning, if that group doesn't exist anymore, that's a lot less power that they have to be able to get something like these bills to pass that we'll talk about in another episode. And so we need public perception to shift. Public perception needs to shift into a place that's more realistic, because where it is right now is not realistic. They don't understand. They don't understand what we're doing and why we're doing it. And it's because they, in their own mind, are so narrow in their viewpoint that they refuse to be open to it. And it's just all it takes is a bridge. It just takes a small little bridge to be able to say, to be able to find something to connect on where the two of you can go, I see you and I see you.
Yes.
And the bridge is what brings somebody's own perspective that might have been narrow into a broader opening of, that might not be the way I would have handled it, but I can see how you would have.
Yeah.
And even that is a huge and powerful shift of consciousness.
Oh, yeah.
That can make a big difference in where we go from this point.
Yeah, that's all I want. I want every person everywhere who have completely polar opposite views on vaccines, diseases, COVID, whatever, politics, who you vote for, but you are both human beings and you come together as, you know, as people who can be friends and love each other and be a people that stand against the, you know, pharmaceutically funded government oppression that we're experiencing. And that's kind of I would love to see that. And I think everyone on both sides of the aisle want to see that. We want to be a people again, not you know, people underneath an oppressive authoritative government.
Well, everybody would like to say that our group of people are just these very uneducated extremists who are just emotional and don't like science. And I know that, they would they would love to believe that that is who we are. But not only is that not who we are, the data shows that's not who we
are. Right, right. Science has studied us.
who we are.
Yes, and we are more, you know, people in our movement on average have a higher level of education. Mm-hmm. We're not necessarily more intelligent, but we have a higher level of education.
Well, they didn't study the level of intelligence. They just used education as a marker.
Yeah, as a marker.
So it's not to say we aren't also more intelligent. It just wasn't studied.
Right, but there are super intelligent people on the other side as well.
Of course.
Yeah, great thinkers on both sides.
But as you look at this group that you would love to think are just these people with no brain cells, it's just not the reality. The reality is these are very educated and intelligent parents and individuals who have done a lot of research, who are passionate and caring and kind and considerate members of society, who give to others, who are many of them are very spiritual and loving. And there's so much that's positive about this group. The more that anybody else can understand that, the more that they'll see, okay, what are they talking about then? Yeah. Let me be open to listening to what they're saying at least. Because you can't get this many hundreds of thousands of people across the world to be on board with something if there's not validity to it. You just can't. You can have the off-the-wall, small little niche crazy people. You can't get hundreds of thousands of parents to all be saying the same thing across, you know, dozens and dozens of countries in the globe. You can't make that happen unless there is legitimacy to what we're talking about. And that's what people should be looking at. It's like, well, there's too many of them.
Yes. So
what is it that they're talking about? Yeah. And if you understood that we were kind, loving, compassionate parents, then maybe you'd go, okay, this isn't a sinister thing. This isn't something based in no science or education. What is it that they want and what are they passionate about and why? And be open-minded enough to find out. And we're inviting those people to join us and listen and wonder the same things we're wondering that got us to this position, because we weren't here either before.
Right.
You know, we all came here from somewhere and we all were on the other side of this until we were here.
Yeah.
Anyway, so exciting as always, interesting things to talk about.
Yeah. I want to maybe throw out there in the months to come, we're going to keep doing more audio podcasts. And whenever we have to take a break, we are actually going to give you guys an exclusive look at a whole video series we did in studio that we had to scrap. The very first one we did.
Are we not using that?
The video.
Okay.
We're basically going to, I think, put out there as audio podcasts. And you know, let you guys kind of listen in on the first take we did on series one, and I think the video it'll look so different than what our video eventually became that I don't know if we'll put the video out there. Maybe we'll do like some snippets of it on the actual website, but we're gonna put that content out as audio podcasts because it's pretty interesting content. It was similar to what we eventually did for series one, but there's some differences.
Right?
Yes,
and plus we're going to put the audio from the live podcast events. We can make that available on this here too, right? We've got that. Remember?
Yeah,
from the different states and stuff. We can take some of that.
But that's all. Yeah, we can do snippets.
Yeah, not video, but just audio snippets for these guys aren't into videos and they like audio better. They don't want to lose
videos.
Out on the content. They're loyal and passionate followers of ours. They deserve it all.
Right. Well, I will.
You deserve it all. All of it.
Now we're just getting giddy.
Well, thanks you guys for listening and joining in as always. And we'll be back soon with another episode. And thanks for joining us on the Vaccine Conversation. That's what it's called. The Vaccine Conversation Podcast with Melissa and Dr. Bob. Thank you.
The information in this podcast is for entertainment purposes only. It is not intended as medical advice. Always consult your healthcare professional for information on vaccines and infectious diseases.